If you do good, they will receive good. If you receive nothing, you know we haven't done any good. Very simple. If you receive bad things, or bad things happen to us, or unpleasant things, or things that we don't like, then now that's what we have done. So, when you come here more or less stupid. When you stay here, you're more or less contented and happy in a foolish way. And when you leave, you haven't learned anything because the contentedness and the happiness just goes away. You're still foolish. And whose fault is it? My fault. Because I don't teach you how to be clever. I just don't seem to get it across. To be clever, to understand what is going on. I mean, the activities in the monastery are so few. Just let us understand the decision process that goes on within us before we do something, or before we say something, or before we take something. Let's see the discussion that takes on in our brain before we act, before we scratch, before we move, before we do this, or before we do that. And let us discover what is the reason for us to change things. Changing things by moving, changing things by talking, changing things to go here and to go there and to do this and to do that, to eat this and to eat that, to go to the toilet, to pee and so on, to wash yourself. I mean, don't you want to understand what is going on? Don't you want to understand who is ruling you? I mean, he discusses this with you. Doesn't he? It's not a firm decision, you know, okay, get up. No, it's a discussion taking on. If we get up, or what, why we get up, and what we are going to do, and what we are looking forward, it's a discussion. With who? I mean, does he discuss it with himself? Or with itself, it doesn't need to discuss it with itself. It discusses what it's going to do and why it's going to do with something. And yet it's still stupid. We just don't get it. We just don't follow it. And that's why I said, you know, we come here stupid and we leave here stupid. The only pleasant thing and the happy thing is some sort of happiness, happy foolishness, or foolish happiness. And then we go out in the world, you know, and this foolish happiness, you know, will decrease and decrease and decrease, and then we are back to A. We're not going to be. Because we still don't understand. Because we don't take the opportunity of this simple life to examine everything what is going on. Huh. I mean, we're just so used to do it, you know, we have done it for the last 40, 50 or 30 years. I mean, why to question it at all? I've done it. My guts tell me. Or this tells me. I have to do this. Or even sometimes my angel tells me. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, we don't know. But the discussion process that takes on in our brain, you know, we should we should at least analyze it, where it's coming from, what we really want to do, what our intention is, and why we are going to do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it, but we have to know why we are going to do it, and what is our real intention. And our real intention, the Kilesas will not offer us. As the priest said, here, that's my real intention, you know. I want to kick his ass, but, you know, I smile and grin him to him, you know, in a very mean way. And all what we get is, you know, I grin, you know, I just, you know, smile to him, you know, I let him know I'm superior to him. Because we don't watch it. We don't observe it. We are not aware of what is going on. That's why we do all these foolish things. And it's my fault because I never tell you. Or maybe I told you. Maybe it just doesn't enter your heart. Maybe that's what I say is too difficult for you to do, you know, and you're so used to do it, and it's so... I don't know, what is this? I mean, you just do it because you think, you know, I've done it all my life, so that seems okay. All the things that we've done all our lives, you know, brought us nothing than unhappiness, discontent. I mean, if we want to change something, then we should change, you know, the way that we think, and the way that we act, and that the way that we speak, and that the way that we behave. If you really want to become more happy, more contented, also in the world outside. Now for the moment we are here, we are protected from everything. So there's nothing really going on. So we feel too lazy to do it. But actually this is the perfect opportunity, having so little to do. I mean sweeping, you know, washing ourselves, taking care of our kuti and our clothes, feeding us, and meditating and drinking. I mean, we can be aware of what is going on. I mean, there's not a long discussion process when he said we'll be going to sit down. Okay. Yeah. But when we get up, there's a discussion process going on. Now it's too much, now it's too long, now I'm going to break my leg, or now I'm going to ruin my body, or this, or this, or this, or that, and then it's going to convince us that it's better to get up, isn't it? And we say, yes, my Lord, of course it is better, whatever you decree, you know, I'm going to take on me. And if you decree me to go to hell, I'm willing to go to hell. Because we don't notice it. Because we don't really see it happening. But it's happening every moment. We are just not aware of our intentions. We are just not aware of the discussion that is going on in our mind. And we are just not aware of the things that trigger our actions, our speech. I mean, just let it happen. When you see something is coming into the mind, just let it pass away. If you want to scratch, if you want to drink, just let it pass away. And see what is happening. If you want to eat this food, just let it pass away. And eat another kind of food. That's of course difficult because we are greedy. And we are hungry. And we justify everything, you know. Okay, because I'm hungry, I have to eat a lot. Because I'm not so hungry, I can eat a little bit less. But it's not the body that is eating, it's the tongue that is eating. It's the kilesas that are eating. I mean, I need my sweet stuff. I only like the tastes, you know, that I enjoyed for all my life. The other tastes I don't even want to try. I mean, just be a little bit more aware. I mean, don't let yourself get fooled with the happiness and contentedness that you experience here. Don't let yourself get fooled. Because the moment you go out, this will disappear. More or less rapidly. If we don't know how to get on that, how to solve the problem, then, I mean, we will be, wherever we will go, we will be in the same problems. We will meet the same difficulties. Wherever we go, we take everything with us. Our decision process we take with us, wherever we go. Why are we doing this? I mean, why am I talking to people? What is going on before we open our mouth? What is going on before we make an action? What is going on before we go to pee? What is going on before we take a swim or take a bath? What is going on while we are sweeping? What is going on while we are washing? What is going on? You know, look at the thoughts, you know, overrun us. And then, of course, you know, we make our decision, you know, and then we don't know where it's coming from. I mean, he made a deal with it, with us. I mean, you can say the devil made a deal with us. I mean, he needs to convince us. If he convinces us, you know, then we go for it, isn't it? Okay, that sounds nice, that sounds good, you know, that is a happy place, you know, that's where we go. And then we say, yes, of course, dear devil, you're right, that's where I go. We don't give it a second thought. Maybe he fooled us. Maybe he deceived us. And that is the power of avijja. It deceives us constantly. It fools us constantly. It constantly tells us what it wants to do. And we constantly say, yes, my Lord, you know, whatever you say, I will follow your advice. I will follow your command. And if this command leads me to hell, I don't care. I just follow it. Because it's so much more difficult to not follow your command. Isn't it? So much more difficult. When he says we should get up from meditation, it's so much difficult not to follow his command, to sit down, to fight with the difficulties. Because then he brings us difficulties. He's just like a tyrant. I mean, as long as his subjects do whatever the tyrant wants it, I mean, he doesn't need to have any force. But the moment, you know, that the subjects don't do what the tyrant wants, I mean, he lets them know that he is the master. And that's what we experience constantly. Every moment, if we don't follow, I mean, he let us know his powers. And there, of course, you know, are the powers of doubt, are the powers of fright or fear, are the powers of pain or restlessness or boredom or whatever. I mean, because out of these things, you know, we do a lot of things. What is it? Worry. Where does it belong? In which khanda does worry belong? Fear, in what khanda does fear belong? Doubt, in what khanda does it belong? Mostly thinking. So the moment we stop thinking, there is no fear, there is no worry, there is just happiness and contentedness. Then we get out, and then everything is coming back, just the way it used to be. So if we don't investigate, so if we don't reflect, so if we are not aware of our decision process, I mean, we just stay at the same place. We never advance. And if you don't advance, we retreat. If you don't swim against the stream, we are drawn with the stream, just like the rest of all the people in this world. The flow with the current of the stream that leads to destruction doesn't lead upwards, doesn't lead. I mean, every step against the current of a stream, you know, leads us closer to the source. But our friends are swimming down. Everybody in our environment is swimming down the stream. So who can take it on, you know, to swim against? Every one of us takes this exit, the easy way out. And we ourselves are alone, going up, struggling, you know, going against the current of our decision-making process. That's where we really struggle. And then we see all the other, my friends and my relatives, my, you know, my monk colleagues, and so on. They all go down the stream. Am I stupid, you know? I mean, I'm going on all alone, you know? I mean, the masses are always wrong. Isn't it? They are on the highway. I mean, they're really on the highway and racing, you know, towards home. Towards home. That's the only place where they race to. But the ones who make the sidetrack and find, you know, find a small path that leads up, not down, I mean, they are alone. There are hardly any people follow them. It doesn't matter who it is. Eh? Just look at all the friends that you have. Just look at the relatives. Look at your family. I mean, where are they going? And where are you going? Are you going in the same direction or are you going against the stream? Ask yourself. Am I going to understand what is going on? Who the hell is telling me all these things that lead all to unpleasant reactions, all to dukkha? Who tempts me with this and who tempts me with that? Who fools me into doing this and who fools me into doing that? It's nothing else than the power that ruled us for millions and billions of lives. Not years, lives. Going from one life to the next, and then we think, you know, the moment we get a little bit older, oh, the next life will be better. How do we know? We don't even remember our last life. So how can we know the next life will be better? I mean, we just hope. Just like the Christian hope, you know, Jesus will be their savior. In the end, you know, they will face all the same truth. I mean, just believe in God or just believe in Jesus and He will save you. That doesn't help. I mean, if you remember the New Testament very well, then there is something that is called the Sermon on the Mount that tells us exactly how to behave to get into heaven. If we don't follow it, you know, we just go, just like Jesus said, we'll go to hell. Or like the Lord Buddha said, we just go to hell. If you don't follow it. But because everyone around us does the same thing, you know, we feel sure. We feel secure. And we feel not alone. The moment we walk up, you know, we feel alone. You know, just like a lonely mountain ranger. I mean, nobody's, you know, nobody in sight. Am I the only stupid person who walks up instead of walking down? And each step we make, you know, this temptation comes up. Are we the only stupid person who walks up? Yeah. We don't see anybody around us who walks up. And then we decide to walk down, just with the rest of it. Just with the rest of our good friends, of our family, and all the people we know. Just walking down because it's much easier and it's much more fun, of course. We can chat along the way. We can party along the way. I mean, we can do whatever we think, you know. So what is going on, you know? I mean, take the time, take the opportunity that you have here in this monastery and investigate your decision processes. I mean, who is trying to convince you? That's the first question you ask. Who is convincing me? Who is trying to convince me that I have to do this? Oh, you can ask another. Who tells me that I have to do this? Who tells me that I have to speak? Who tells me that I have to drink? Who tells me that I have to piss? Huh? what is it what I really want? And what is it what I'm escaping from? I'm always escaping from the truth. I mean, if you find the truth, you know, there's no loneliness, there's no worry, there's no doubt, there's no fear. I mean, truth is just the truth. But this voice in our head, I mean, these KGB, or KBC, Kilesa's Broadcasting Company, I mean, it not only convinces us to do this, but it also comments what we are doing at the moment. I mean, it's constantly on, this radio is constantly on. And it has only one channel. It's called KBC. Kilesa's Broadcasting Company, 24 hours a day. No rest. This I need to do, that I need to do. This I'm doing at the moment. I'm feeling very happy at the moment. I need to do this. I need to get more of happiness. I need to get my samadhi. I don't want to do asupa. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to contact my family. I want to call my mother. I want to do this and I want to do that. Constant. 24 hours a day. If you're not doing Buddha and can stay on the Buddha, it will broadcast. And all our decisions, the moment we don't do Buddha, or the moment we don't have any concentration on our breath, I mean, it deceives us. It tries to fool us. It tries to convince us that this is not good what we are doing. That that would be better if we are doing it. And we say, yes, my Lord. Please lead me, my Lord. You have led me for the last billions of lives. You can't be wrong. You just cannot be wrong. That fool that sits in front of you, that is the person who is wrong. I mean, I'm a fool, yeah? Because all my life I went against the stream. I never believed, you know, what the people said to me, you know, that this is good and that is good. I had to experience for myself. And then made my own mind up. And when I started practice everything, you know, what was practice? You know, are you stupid? Are you crazy? What you're doing is not good. Because it goes against us, you know, it confronts us. It questions us. What you're doing is not what the common people are doing. So, by doing this, you question us. And we don't like to be questioned. So, you better shut up and you better conform with our standards. I amplify it a little bit, you know, just for you to get the idea what is going on. They might not say it in that harsh way, you know, they might say it in a tempting way. Oh, come on, you know, it's not too bad, you know. One time, you know, just one time. One time is no time, and two time is one time, and one time is no time, so we never do it actually. That's how they fool us. It's amazing. It's amazing, and we are not yet clever to it. We are not yet clever to it because we never think about it. You know, we only think what the decision that comes up in our head, and that's what we have to do. We just follow the commands. Question the commands. Look what is behind it. What is actually happening? What is actually happening in our heart? What is actually happening in the five khandhas? Because the five khandhas is all what makes this world. Or what makes us. So there's body, there's sensations of the body, there's feeling, there's memory and association, there's thought and consciousness. That's all. I mean worry, where does it fall into? Worry is just a made-up symbol. Fear is just a made-up symbol. Loneliness. What if I be lonely? And if you are lonely, you know, we have to convince others that what we are doing is right. If you convince another person that what we are doing is right, and we convince him, then we feel much more secure. If you convince 10 people, we feel even more secure. When I think about something in our new way of life, I mean, I have to convince a lot of people, yeah? Because in the beginning I'm there alone. So the more people I convince, the more secure I get that this idea is actually fantastic. Brilliant idea. It's a brilliant idea. But if I can't convince anybody, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I just don't do it. Because then people come and question me. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? What does it bring? Does it make sense? And then we fall for the trap. And then we revert our idea, you know, and just fall back to the herd. And the leader of the herd tells us, go right, and then go left. Go straight, go back. Go right, and left, and straight, and back. And that's what we do all our lives. So get clever. Get aware of what is going on. Get aware of this decision process. I mean, you know it, it's happening. So question it. Huh? I mean, who is convincing me? Why do you need to convince me? I mean, if he's really us, you know, then he has the power. He doesn't need to convince us. Huh? Interesting. I mean, if that, you know, would be us, you know, I mean, what are all these questions about? What are all these rationalizations about? Why do we need that? If it's us, you could just go ahead and do it. So something is, you know, something is in it, you know, that tries or need to convince us to do this or to do that, to say this or to say that. Oh. Interesting. We experienced it all our life, but we never questioned it or we never asked it. Who are you? I mean, if somebody comes into our room, we ask, who are you? Where are you from? What is your need? And if the need doesn't comply with our needs, you know, okay, there's the door. Please go. But with this person, you know, we never ask him, who are you? Where are you from? What do you want? Why do you bother me? Get the hell out of here. I never come back again. I don't need you. No. Hello, come in, you know. Destroy my home, you know. And I pay for the damage. That's how we invite the hooligans, or otherwise we kill each other. Come in, you know, just ruin me, you know, in every way, you know. Give me drugs and give me alcohol and give me this and give me that. Give me sex and give me this, you know, all, you know, and then I pay for the damage. Down in hell. I mean, close your door and don't let them in. How do you close your door? Having sati. Being aware of what is going on and not following what is going on. Not buying into it. That's the way. Awareness, awareness, awareness. If you have one moment of awareness, you know, no kilesas can come in. If we are aware there is a feeling, okay, then we are aware there is a feeling. Then we are aware that this feeling is triggering either memory or a thought. Then we are aware of this. And then we look at the contents of the memory and contents of the thought and say, this is useless. And then we stop it. At that moment. But we don't do it. We follow. Okay. Slowly, slowly he convinces us to get up. This is too painful. This is, you know, I've done long enough, you know, or this is not bringing me any results. I mean, all this practice is useless, huh? Doesn't bring me any results. I mean, just sit back, you know, relax, you know, just sleep. Happily contented sleep in the samadhi. That's nice, of course. While we're in samadhi, of course, we cannot do any bad. We don't have bad intentions. We cannot do bad karma. We can't do any karma because there's no intention. So, that's fine. The moment we come out, we do a hell of a lot of karma. Because we don't watch, we are not aware of what is going on. We are not aware of what we are going to do now, why we are going to do it now, and what kind of results does it bring. I don't want to say with this, you know, you shouldn't do anything. I mean, you shouldn't sit around like a vegetable. That is not helpful either. I mean, just question the things that are going on. See the decision process going on. Cut it off if you don't like it. And see what the cause for all of this was. The cause for it. And the cause is, I mean, you will be amazed. The cause is mostly an unpleasant feeling, that's all. Most of it is an unpleasant feeling. Or it's an unpleasant thought. Or it is an unpleasant memory. That just comes up. That makes us do something. Nothing else. However, we call this feeling, I mean, we have thousands of words for different kinds of feelings. A feeling is a feeling. It's either an unpleasant feeling or a pleasant feeling or a neutral feeling. Or it's two categories of feeling, it's bodily feeling or mental feeling. That's it. Memory is just a memory. It comes on and it passes away. It comes on and passes away. We don't have to follow it. We don't have to grab it and say, this is my memory. I mean, if it's my memory, you know, I have to follow my memory. Or this is my thought. This is my thought because it's my thought. I have to follow it. There's nothing to do with us. The Lord Buddha teaches us very clearly. All these things are anatta. This is not me. That is not mine. That does not belong to me. And what does it tell us? What is not me? What is not mine? What doesn't belong to me? He says, it's body. That is not me, that is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. It's feeling that is not me, that is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. It's memory and association that is not me, that is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. That just appear and then arise and cease and arise and cease and arise and cease. And it's thought that is not me, that doesn't is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. And it's consciousness itself. That is not me, that is not mine, that does not belong to me. All these things are appearing just in front of our eyes. That's why we think it's us. And if we see it in another person, then we think it's him. A thought is a thought, you know. It doesn't belong to me and it doesn't belong to you. It just appears out of, seemingly out of nowhere, and then it passes into nowhere. Memory is just the same thing. So why do we attach to these things? And ideas is a combination of memory and thought. In these we are stuck. Each idea. I have the idea. And we are fools. I have a good idea. And we are fools. I have a brilliant idea. And we're fooled again. We are brilliantly fooled. I mean, just keep yourself in the realms of the basic principle. Anicca anatta dukkha. Everything arises and ceases. All the things that we encounter are not me, not mine, not myself. And if you attach to it, there is dukkha. That's a basic principle. All the other basic principles is everything that we can think of ourselves is belongs to one of the khandhas, to one of the groups that make us. It's just a combination of groups, just like I said, you know, before. Idea is a combination of two groups, of thought and memory. The more often we think about it, the more often we memorize it, the more stickier this idea gets. And how can we cut down? Not allowing to think it. or sweep it off, or replace it with Buddha, or replace it with the awareness of the breath at the tip of the nose. And then we will see all our brilliant ideas, you know, just go away. They have no hold anymore. Because then we actually see that it's just a memory in the thought. Boop, go, boop, go, boop. Feeling the same thing. Boop. Comes and goes. Comes and goes. Comes and goes. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. It's you who gives the meaning to these things. It's you who attach to these things. It's just like, you know, look at your TV. I mean, all what comes into this TV is colors, three colors. And what do you make out of it? I mean, you can make a comedy out of it, you can make news out of it, you can make a love story out of it. I mean, you can make a drama out of it, or you can make a cruel film, a horror film out of it. Just out of these three colors that come into the TV. I mean, that's what you want to see, and that's what you see. But actually, what is happening? There's just three colors. And when we look at ourselves, what we think is us, there's only five colors, only five groups. That's it. And what we make out of it, that is what we think we are. And if somebody else comes to us and says, no, I don't think you are like that, you are like that. I mean, then we get pissed. Then we're going to defend ourselves, why we are like the way that we think we are. Isn't it? Constantly, somebody says something about us, okay. Sometimes they say something nice about, of course, you know, that makes us feel secure. And then somebody, you know, but most of the time, you know, somebody says something bad about us, and then makes us insecure. So we're going to defend ourselves, we're going to defend our actions. And that is constantly going on. So just become aware of it. Just become aware of this process. The process of making a decision that constantly goes on, even before you move your arm. I mean, there's a decision process going on. I mean, just look at it. I invite you to look at it and get smart. I mean, don't come here and stupid and get out and ask stupid. I mean, get smart. Get clever. Understand what is going on. Understand what is leading you. Understand what has the power over you. I mean, that is all how I can help you. Not just to point your nose in front of you. I mean, you have to do it. You have to see through. You have to understand it. And you have to stop it. And then just let actions, you know, where you know the real intentions for. Where you're sure that you know the intention. Not the intention that comes by the kilesa. The intention that is really there. I mean, I had an unpleasant feeling. And then I'm going to look, where is this unpleasant feeling? Ah. It's down there. So I mean, it might mean, you know, I need to go to have a piss, or I need to go to have a shit. I mean, this is quite a few steps, you know, along the line. And all what we get, you know, we find ourselves in the toilet. Whoops. We don't even know how we got to the toilet. We don't even know how the glass got to our mouth. Because we are so completely unaware, we are so completely blind, we are so completely without suffering. So there are all these things can happen. Everything, you know, the darkness has the power when there is no light. But if there is light, if there is sati, the darkness doesn't have any power over us. What is loneliness? What is doubt? It's all a feeling. Created by thought. And together with memory. Look at it. Look at it, how fear comes up. It just doesn't rise. Whoosh. No, a feeling is not this. That's an emotion. Fear is an emotion. Doubt is an emotion. Worry is an emotion. It's a build-up. Avalanche. I mean, just be careful of the first stone that you throw into the snow. I mean, you see it rolling down, and each time, you know, it rolls one, makes one turn, you know, it gathers more snow, and gathers more snow, and gathers more snow, and in the end, it crashes us. And that's what we call an emotion. Most of us are crashed by it. If we call it love, if we call it hate, if we call it worry, if we call it fear, we are crashed by it. And then we are forced, you know, we cannot react. But we let it happen. We are responsible that it happened. Because all what there's a feeling. Boop, point. There's a memory, point. That's it. There's a thought, point. There's a body, point. Nothing else will happen. I mean, it's just, you know, throwing the stones but not letting roll them downhill. Not letting fit in each other. Not letting trigger each other without us being aware of it and being able to stop it every moment. That's what is sati. That is what is awareness, you know, of what is going on. That is what makes us understand, you know, who is the Lord in our hearts. Not the devas or not the devil. I mean, we want to be the Lord in our hearts. We fight for freedom. I mean, if somebody takes our bodily freedom, you know, we fight and we don't care if our life is, you know, at stake. But if it goes for our spiritual freedom, I mean, then the slightest pain, you know, makes us retract. We have to become spiritual warriors. See, get your sati. Get your sati. Wherever you are, be aware of what you're doing and why you're doing and what kind of results this doing has. And then we understand. Then we even understand karma. If you're not aware, you know, we can't even understand karma. We don't even know what is coming up to us because we always think somebody else does that onto me. It's not somebody else does it unto me, we do it unto ourselves. Whatever happens, we do it unto ourselves. But we forget it because it has passed. So, I offer this for your reflection. And I wish that all of you, you get smart. Get smart. Is your life. Get smart with what is happening. If I would have a solution with cleverness, you know, that I could just inject into your neck, you know, I would do it. But I don't have it. I mean, you have to develop that medicine within yourself. If you don't have it, if you're just clever in the ways of the world, you know, I can't help you. You have to become clever in the ways of Dhamma, that questions everything, that doesn't let anything stand open. Why? And if you're not sure, you just go ahead and do it and look at the results, what it brings. And then the next time he tells you, now you know, no, I know the results, I'm not good, you know, I'm not going to do that again. However, will you get clever if you don't do it this way? I mean, we have to see, and you know, okay, this is the intention, this is our action, and this is the result. And then we judge the result. Is it comfortable result, or is it an uncomfortable result? It's a pleasant result or an unpleasant result? And if it's an unpleasant result, the next time we want to do this action, no, I know the results of it. I don't do that. You can't fool me into that. But because we never look at this, our life in this way, because it's so tedious, we just want to have our fun, you know. We just want to roll down the hill. That's all. That's why we don't look. Okay, so, I hope you look. I hope you remember it, you know, from time to time to remember it. Let's do it at least, you know, once a day. I mean, no matter how long, you know, do it every day. Start to investigate the discussion that take on in your head. Start every day. If you don't catch it, you know, if you don't see it going on, I mean, then scroll back through the whole day. See what is happening, you know, what did you do, why did you do it? That's all what you can do. I mean, you won't catch it in the beginning, I mean, because the mind is so so clever, you know, you suddenly see yourself, you know, having an ice cream in your hand and you don't know how the hell did I get this ice cream? You know, and then you look back and then you saw the sign of a nice ice cream, you know, and you see yourself walking and see yourself looking at it, you know, and then looking at it and looking at it and then going into the shop and buying it, you know, and but all what you gather is, oh, where is this ice cream coming from, or where is this coffee coming from, or where is this or that coming from? What was going on actually before I had it? Who made the decision? Huh? That means, you know, to get clever in the ways of Dhamma. Not just to follow your Lord and Master, to oppose Him, to question Him.